in the book of James, in five different sections, the way Christians interact with each other is addressed. And the theme starts in verse 19 to 20. So let's look at your Bibles there. And these two verses, know this, my dear brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Father, soften our hearts, remove distractions, let us hear from you, connecting the dots into our lives, that we wouldn't give nodding agreement to your word, but that our hearts and our actions and our wills would line up with yours, that we would function according to your word, not just hold some beliefs, but function, living out those beliefs for your glory. Help us, Lord, this morning as we hear your word. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So just before verse 19, James wrote about how Christians create their own sinful temptations from our own sinful desires. We are responsible for temptations in our lives, not God. Sometimes the devil does bring along temptations, but a lot of times we stir them up from our sinful nature, our sinful desires that are still alive, that are being sanctified and killed by the Holy Spirit, but are still there. And evidence of that is that we are still being sanctified. If we are already fully sanctified, that sinful nature would be gone, but the Holy Spirit is still sanctifying us. Therefore, that is a clear indicator that we still have the sinful nature going on in us. God gives good and perfect gifts. The biggest one is, of course, his son Jesus Christ, given as a sacrifice for our sin. He became our substitute, receiving the punishment from God that we deserve because of our sin. Salvation is in God's hand, and he chose to save us through Jesus Christ. He is good and gives good gifts. Now in verse 19, more wisdom is being given to us. And it begins with, know this. It's like saying, hey, listen up. Be sure you catch this. Listen closely. Some say that a few of the Bible translations tone down the intensity of that phrase. In Greek, it's a commanding phrase, very assertive. Know this. This is true, therefore do it. It's that kind of a thing. And the truth that is being communicated, the wisdom that is being given, is given out of love. Know this, my beloved brothers. The Greek word translated brothers means of the same womb. It's addressing fellow believers, men and women found in Jesus Christ. James loves his brothers and his sisters. He loves the church. They are dear to him, and he wants them to know something very, very important. Listen closely, my brothers and sisters whom I love. Listen closely. And here it is. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, does this hearing and speaking refer to God's word or our relationships between Christians? I've been using two commentaries in my prep for this sermon series, and one commentary says that this has to do with our relation to God's word, and the other commentary says it's the relationship between God's people. So there's ample evidence for both sides, but I believe that this is about our relationships in the church family, between you and I, between us. For this to be about God's word only makes sense for the first command. Be quick to hear, yes. Be quick to hear God's word, yes. But then be slow to speak. So slow to speak God's word? Don't speak much about God's word or speak only a little bit about God's word? Don't spread God's word? That doesn't fit. As well as be slow to anger. Be slow to be angry at God for God's word. So the command about speaking in anger doesn't really fit for talking about God's word. What is more likely is James is giving relational wisdom, wisdom for God's children, like he does elsewhere in this book. So this is wisdom for us. And the relational wisdom being given is huge. This is massive, these two small short verses. This wisdom can have an incredibly powerful impact on the life of the entire church family. I'm not exaggerating. Following this passage could change our entire church. Our entire church. Be quick to hear, quick to listen to each other. This is not just about letting someone finish talking. It can't be reduced to just a bunch of words entering our hearing canals. It's about paying attention to what is being said in order to understand what the person is saying, what they actually mean. Hearing and listening is about understanding what it is the person wants you to know. It's about the listener working to understand what the speaker means. That's what hearing, that's what listening is about. What does the speaker, the one talking to me, what do they mean? And it's not our default setting to do this. We are not quick to hear each other. We don't naturally work at listening to each other or work at understanding what each other is saying. We who are God's children were saved by grace and we still sin. So what often happens is we tune out. We are preoccupied with what we're going to say. Or we want to get out of the conversation, so we just say different versions of, oh yeah, yeah, got it. We do this for a number of reasons. We're in a hurry. We don't want to talk, or we really don't care what's being said. Whatever the reason, we're not listening, even though sometimes we try to come across as listening. Yeah, 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 got it. We're not listening. Not listening is actually really dangerous, because if we don't know what the other person means, if we don't understand their point, we are communicating to them that they are not important enough to put the effort into being understood. Edgar's talking? Oh, whatever. Whatever. I'm tuning out. To hear someone, that takes time. That takes time for them to explain themselves. It takes time for you to ask clarifying questions. It takes time for you to get yourself disciplined to listen, to mentally be there, to not think about other things or how you're going to respond. It takes time to be aware of how you are actually keeping yourself from hearing, to notice how your own filters block you from hearing what the other person wants you to understand. We all have filters. We all listen through filters. The Apostle Paul capitalized on filters when he appeared before a religious council made up of leaders called Pharisees and Sadducees. This is recorded in Acts chapter 23. Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection of the dead. Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Paul knew this because he was a Pharisee. So standing before this council, Paul said, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. It is with respect to the hope and resurrection of the dead that I am on trial." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. Their filter caught that phrase, resurrection of the dead, and they heard nothing else about the charges against Paul, and everything fell apart. Their filter guarded what they listened. It was the one that changed how they responded and how they heard things, and they just heard that one thing and everything else fell off to the side. We filter things. We listen with filters, with biases, with hot buttons, with predetermined reactions. And it takes time to recognize those filters and be careful that they don't hamper us in understanding what a person is saying to us. We are commanded to be quick in taking the listening position with each other. We love our brothers and sisters, so it makes sense that being loving to them is working to find out what they mean, not assuming and guessing what they mean. And that's not easy. It is not easy. It requires the power of the Holy Spirit to resist distractions, to resist our pridefulness, our self-centeredness, to pray that that stuff would die, and to change our thinking and our hearts and our wills to be more lined up with God's thinking and desire and will. Listening takes the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. And along with quick to hear, we are to be slow to speak. Normally, we are slow to hear and quick to speak. But God's kids are to flip that. Hear each other. Don't speak so quickly. When someone says something to us and we are slow to listen and quick to speak, we are not speaking from a position of understanding the person or the situation. We don't know what the person means, and therefore we are most likely speaking from ignorance. God doesn't want you and I speaking from ignorance, but with wisdom. That's why he generously offers it. It shouldn't be one person doing all the talking and not listening to the other person. It shouldn't be two people just talking, and no one is listening to each other. That's just sharing collective ignorance or talking into the air. We are to have a back and forth conversation of listening and talking. Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent, is wise. Proverbs 11 verse 12 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent, holds his tongue. Being wise is restraining your tongue. Proverbs 18 verse 2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Wow, that's a good summary of a talker and a not listener. A fool doesn't listen to understand others. He or she just talks and talks and talks, only interested in expressing their own opinion. I'm not a big social media person, but what I know about social media reflects well what sinners have always been doing. It's about expressing one's opinion. Most of the time, it's not about listening in order to understand, but just posting about self, posting opinions. My opinion is gold. Everybody should know my opinion, so I'm going to put it out there because the crowds demand it. There is no way that you can understand something by reading a tweet that uses less than 100 words or inform an intelligent, well-informed reply to a situation in less than 100 words. But that doesn't seem to matter or stop anyone. Much of social media is slow to hear and quick to speak. No pleasure in understanding, but a lot of pleasure in expressing one's opinion. Christians are to be quick to hear and slow to speak in person and social media. But you might be thinking, hey, if I'm quick to listen and slow to speak, and the other person is quick to listen and slow to speak, no one's going to be talking, and there will be nothing to listen to. That would be a funny scene, but we know that is obviously not the point of the passage. The point is that we as brothers and sisters, are to really listen to each other instead of not listening and just talking. If we both have that position, we'll be fine. We'll be doing well. This listening to each other and being slow to speak is a huge way of expressing love to each other. I can't imagine how many of us are lonely and how many of us feel unloved because people just don't listen to us. No one seems interested. I'm not talking about, hey, listen to me, and that definition of listen means do what I say. That's not what I'm talking about. But being interested in each other and then listening to each other, what they mean, where they're coming from, how they're expressing themselves, giving them the floor and following up with questions. What's that? What? How's that? Yeah. Tell me more about truly listening to each other. How many of us have people like that in our lives? How many of us are doing that for other people and loving each other just by grabbing that tongue and stopping it and then focusing on the person and listening, being interested in each other? God commands his children to love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22, verse 39. Or Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, here is a very real, doable way every one of us can love one another right here at Calvary Baptist Church, even after the service, eating cake and drinking coffee in the lobby. You love Jesus? Then love your brothers and sisters in this church family by actually engaging them in conversation and listening to them, loving them in this way. Don't run for the car, get in your car and drive away as soon as the service is done. Don't do it. Love us. Talk with us, listen to us. Yeah. And with quick to hear and slow to speak, we are to be slow to anger. Don't get all heated and mad. Don't be all angry with me because I just told you that you shouldn't do what you always do, which is jump in your car and drive away as soon as the service is done. Don't be mad at me. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of angry people in the church and outside the church. It's amazing how quickly people get angry and say angry things. This happens a lot in driving. You do something wrong, even minor, and people are freaking out, giving you gestures, mouthing things to you. Angry. It seems we're in a state of anger. We're just always mad. And then anything that happens, boom. I was at a high school basketball game yesterday, and I was kind of sitting in between two men, and their kids were in the opposing teams. They were against each other. And I didn't know either one of them. They weren't part of our team. And in 5 seconds, things between them escalated to such angry words going back and forth, and I'm sitting there going, they're also going to go at it, and I'm in between them. It was very entertaining, but it wasn't very good. Like the how ramped up they got, it was in like 5 seconds and they were ramped up. It seems people are just, we're mad, we're ready. Anger often hides itself. It looks like something else. It often looks, it hides itself as hurt. Now, hear me right here, because some of you might get hurt by what I'm going to say here, but I don't want you to get hurt. I just want you to hear what can happen. There are some people who have been hurt, legitimately hurt, and it's not right, and it's not good that they were hurt. But they have never faced that hurt or forgiven those that have hurt them. And that hurt has turned into anger. They're not hurt anymore. They're mad. They're mad at people. They're mad at the church. They're mad at the government. They're mad at everybody. They're mad. Anger also hides behind smiling faces and comes out in passive-aggressive ways. That non-direct confrontation, right? They're saying things, but they're saying it on the sly, you know? Oh, Edgar, you're preaching about listening again, eh? What? What was that? These little slight ways that we have of expressing our anger. Instead of in your face, it's like these little manipulative ways that we take jabs at each other. Often anger is in your face. And sadly, over the years, we've had a number of people lashing out in anger at each other here in our church family, calling each other names, being very passive aggressive, hurt turning into anger, but being explained away as hurt or justified as hurt. They're justified in saying those things. This happens everywhere. Anger is so poisonous. That's why Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, hey, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It gives the devil an opportunity to work through you, to work with you. Proverbs 15 verse 18 says, hot-tempered people stir up conflict. We all know that's true. We've all been affected by the poison of anger against us and from us, right? Many people think that emotions are just a natural product of our personality, and therefore they can't really be controlled, but just suppressed or ignored. But the Bible speaks of Christians who, by God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, are being transformed so that emotions come in line with God's word and God's will. Controlling emotions, seeking ways to be slow to anger, to not explode, to not ramp yourself up. A great help in this is to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Anger often flares up due to misunderstandings or hearing a person through your personal filters. And we always think our personal filters are gold, right? We get it wrong. We're not getting the right information or enough information. Anger has a way of dehumanizing people, making them our enemies. Whenever that person's name comes up, we're like, oh yeah, yeah, Edgar, yeah. But listening to each other humanizes them. We realize that they are sinners just like we are, and listening to them is like taking the lid off of a box full of butterflies, just releasing this beauty. If we would just listen, we would see this. Oh, they're not evil, despicable people with bad intentions through and through. Everything they do is so horrendous. Wait a minute, they're actually nice, normal people like me. Our pride has real trouble keeping our anger up against them. Our pride, which is so easily offended, so easily hurt, and convinces us that we're victims and how dare anyone do that to me, and comes out as anger and attacking those evil people who are coming against me. Listening punches holes in our pride. It really does. I remember being in seminary, and the professor started teaching a view that I did not believe, and I still don't believe. I still think he's wrong. But beforehand, once he started talking, I was all of a sudden, that was my filter, and my filter was like, this guy's terrible. I should be dropping this course. How dare he? Look at him. Pagan! Look at him. What is he teaching us? And then as he started getting into it, and I started getting to know him, I was like, he's not a bad person at all. He just holds a different view than I do of Scripture. Why do I dehumanize him and villainize him so quickly? It's craziness. Verse 20 says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Here, the righteousness of God does not mean salvation, but behavior that is pleasing to the Lord. That's how the Old Testament uses that phrase, the righteousness of God, over and over, as behavior that pleases the Lord. Our anger does not produce that. We often function as though anger is really helpful, and it's a real go-to method for us to tap into when a situation arises. Oh, I'm going to get angry. Yeah, if I get angry, that's going to be very helpful to this whole situation. But our anger usually produces sinful acts because our sinfulness gets a hold of our anger and runs with it. You know, Jesus didn't have that problem when he went into the temple and cleared it with that whip. He didn't have that sinful nature which took the anger and just kind of twisted it up. Jesus' anger was righteous and pure anger. Ours, no. Our sinfulness gets a hold of it and just messes with it. Psalm 37, verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Anger usually doesn't bring about behavior pleasing to God, but evil. And I can give testimony to it, because when my anger flares up, ridiculousness happens. Evil happens. I hurt people. I am on a warpath. Produces nothing good. And so we are to leave it. Be slow to anger. Don't go running to it so quickly. I like how one of my other professors brought these two verses together. He said when his kids were teenagers, he got angry a lot, resulting in him saying and doing things that he regretted. Good things didn't come from his anger. So by God's grace, he changed things. When an intense situation arose, he would say to himself, I can get angry later. But right now, I'm going to listen in order to understand the situation. So what this did was it gave him permission to get angry, but later on, just not right now. Just wait a little while, get angry later. You can do that later. But just for right now, listen to understand the situation. In the moment, anger kept him from listening, and he made poor decisions. So he said, I'll get angry later on, and then for him, later on never showed up. Because he went through the situation, listened, and it never escalated to that anger. This totally helped him be slow to anger, to not jumping into sin, which helped him not talk out of anger. He was slow to speak, which in turn helped him to be quick to hear. This was incredibly, incredibly helpful to him and his family. Plus, more importantly, he was obedient and glorifying God. Be slow to anger. So what about when someone comes? So that's kind of like us, like anger coming out of us and targeting towards people. But what about when someone comes at us with anger? You know, fighting back with angry words does not seem to be what God's word encourages of us. Our pride wants to do that, to fight back, and how dare anybody say that to me and do that to me? But it doesn't produce anything good. We need to go God's route of being quick to listen and slow to speak. Listen to understand what the person is saying to you, what they mean. Often they are mad at something else by lashing out at you, or they misunderstood something, or they are legitimately mad at you for what you did. But nothing will be resolved, or you won't be dealing with the truth unless you listen to understand what they mean. Then you can slowly respond in truth. I'm obviously not talking about extreme, crazy circumstances where you're dealing with someone who is just raging anger and nothing seems to resolve ever. I'm talking about somewhat normal, angry circumstances that we get into. And being slow to talk, quick to listen, to understand, so you can resolve and speak truth into it. I've seen Dixie do this a number of times with success. Being slow to take the angry option, speak with just a few questions, clarifying questions, to understand what is actually happening, what is actually being meant by the person. And it's amazing how calm you can be if your goal is to understand the other person. And it's amazing how the person reacts when you're actually listening and trying to understand what they mean. It can dissipate the whole anger situation quite quickly. Now, I don't know all the ways anger is related to listening and talking, but they are connected. They are interrelated. If we are quick to hear, then we will probably be slow to speak because we are gathering info, hearing the person, loving the person, wanting to know what they are saying, keeping ourselves from the anger option. If we are slow to hear, then we will probably be quick to speak, not hearing the person, not well informed about what is happening, and we will be susceptible to false assumptions, moving toward being quick to anger and talking based on limited info, leading down a road that does not produce behavior pleasing to God. Now, this isn't an exhaustive treatment of this complex issue of listening and speaking and anger. But perhaps just consider God's word here. Consider this. Quick to hear leads to slow to speak, which leads to slow to anger, producing the righteousness of God. Perhaps slow to anger leads to slow to speak, which leads to quick to hear. You get that? Kind of see that there? Consider that. Consider how those combine together. And whatever the combination, this is God's command and his wisdom for his family. So, church, these two verses, embrace this. Embrace it. Implement God's wisdom into your life. Hold this up to your life. Examine your life according to Scripture. And see where you're at. Work at this. Pray for this. Submit to the Lord. Be humble. This is pride-killing stuff that God is giving us here. And it takes work and sacrifice, but it's what God commands, and therefore it is worth it. Plus, we have a great line in our vision statement. This is what it says. We exist to grow genuine, loving relationships with each other based on God's word. Here is a very, very specific way we can do that. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Church, in this very angry and prideful and lonely, lonely world, let's obey the Lord and love each other. Being quick to listen to each other, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Let's ask this of the Lord. Lord,